Beginning here at the bottom of Ayin Bet, Amud Bet, six lines from the bottom, the Gemara was discussing the machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish with regards to the 10th day of the Yumei Ziva. We already established that with regards to the 11th day of Yumei Ziva, that's clearly different than the remaining days of the Yumei Ziva. And that was already noted in the machloka that we had between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in the Mishnah as to exactly what the implications are of the fact that the 11th day is different. Then we had a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish as to whether the 10th day looks more like the 9th day and it's just like a regular day of the Yumei Ziva, or does the 10th day look more like the 11th day and it also does not have the requirement of Shemira? And that was the machlok Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, which we brought first as an independent machlok, and later on then brought it as a machlok within the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva believed that source for the Shemen with regards to the Korban Todah, as well as by the Korban Nazir, came through Drashot from the Psukim. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believed that they were Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. In addition to those two items, the third Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that was brought by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was with regards to the 11 days of Yumei Ziva. And in that context, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue about what exactly are the Halachot, or Halakha, the Moshe Misinai, with regards to that 11th day. That's what we finished off with on yesterday's daf. Now, the Gemara comes with a broader challenge to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position and says, Hane Halachot Ninhu? Is the 11 days of Yumei Ziva really Halakha the Moshe Misinai? Hane Karai Ninhu? Those are really Psukim. And the Gemara is about to bring a Braita that's going to show that the 11 days of Yumei Ziva and everything surrounding them are learnt out of the Psukim from a Braita. So then why would you say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, when it all can be learned out of Drashot from Torah Shebichtav? From this, the Balei HaTosafot, as we noted yesterday, suggests that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not speaking only about the 11th day. He was speaking about the 11 days in general of Yumei Ziva, and that's proven by the fact that the Gemara here now challenges him from a Braita that has nothing to do with the 11th day, but has to do with the 11 days of Yumei Ziva in general. And therefore, Tosafot was of the opinion that the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish was really in Svara. It was a logical argument built on top of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but not necessarily the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in particular that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was speaking about, because, as the Gemara now is asking, it has nothing to do with the 11th day. It has to do with the broader context of the 11 days of Yumei Ziva. Are those a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or are those learnt out of the Psukim? So now the Gemara is going to bring a Braita. Truthfully, it's a Braita that we would like to have seen maybe before we started the Masechta or when we started the Masechta, because it gives us all of the basics surrounding Nida and Zava Ktana, Zava Gidola. All of these are items that we've explained throughout the Masechta and we've taken for granted. Here, the Gemara is going to actually bring the source from the Psukim for all of those things that we have taken for granted all the way through the Masechta until this point in time. The Braita focuses on the fact that there are two parshiot at the end of Parshat Mitzora, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Yudtet, and then again in Pasuk Chavhei that deal with a flow of dam where a woman has a sighting that makes her tmeah. The first parshia, which speaks about a nida, speaks v'isha, ki te zava dam yeh zova, bibsara shivat yimim te benidata, rogei abai yitmad arev. So that's the parshia of nida that deals with a woman who has a sighting of dam that makes her into a nida, and makes her tmeah for 7 days. The next parshia, pasuk chavhei, deals again with the woman who has a sighting of dam, bishak yazuv zov dama yamim rabim loit nidata, okita zuv al nidata koyume zov tumata, kimei nidata tiye tmeahi. So there you have a description of a woman who also has a flow of dam, or a sighting of dam, and we know that in order to become Torah from that, it says, vim Torah mizova b'safrala shivat yamim v'achar tidhar. So we've learned already that you require shivnikim to come to Torah from this problem of a zava. What the Braita is going to start to do is understand, how do we know when this manifestation of the Zava takes place? Nida is clear. She has a sighting of Dam. She becomes a Nida. She's to be out for 7 days. With regards to the sighting of the Zov, it's not clear here where the woman has this sighting and what the implications are of that sighting. And that's what the Braita is going to go through now in the Limudim. And then that's going to challenge Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position here that the 11 days of Yumei Ziva really derive from a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and don't derive from the Psukim. The Tanya, We have a braita. Yochol oreg gimel yomim mitzchilat nida ritzufim teizava. I would have thought that the way to reconcile between the two parshiot at the end of Parshat Mitzorah, that of the nida and that of the zava, is to say the following. That when you have a sighting for one day, then you become a nida and you're tmeah for 7 days. If instead of having a sighting for a single day, you have a sighting for 3 days in a row at the beginning of your nida, then you become a zava gdola and you require shivinikim. Or in essence, the two parshiot run simultaneously, that they are both in force at the same time. It's just a question of the number of days that you have a sighting. If you have a sighting for one day, you're a nida. If you have a sighting for 3 days, then you'll be a zava gedola. Uma ani mekayem. But then, what do I do with the pasuk that says, isha ki tie zava dam iezova? That is the parshia of nida. What do I do with that if the parshia of zava is talking about the same thing? Baruah yom echad. I'll just say that that's dealing a case where she saw one day only. That's why the Parshia speaks about the 7 days of Tumah. But the requirement for Shivinikim, Zava Gdola, is if she continues to see on 3 days. And that's Abal Haruah, Gimel Yamim, B'tchilat Ye Zava. Now then, if you saw 3 days sequentially in the beginning of your Nida series, then you'd become a Zava Gedola. Now over here, the Girsa that we have, it's Gimel Yamim, B'tchilat Nida, Ritzufim, Te Zava. If she saw them sequentially, then she would be a Zava Gedola. And that is based on the view of the Balei HaTosafot and the majority of Rishonim, that there is a requirement to become a Zava Gedola that you see 3 days in a row and not 3 days dispersed. That goes against the view of Rav Sadia Gaon that the Balei HaTosafot quoted back on Daf Nun Dalet, who believed that if you saw any 3 days during your Yemei Ziva, they don't have to be sequential, then you become a Zava Gedola. So obviously, according to the Rav Sadia Gaon, you can't have the word Ritzufim here. Whereas for the Balei HaTosafot, the word Ritzufim makes sense in this context. So Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says by the Zava that you can't say that because the Pasuk says below eight Nidata. It's not at the same time that she is a Nida, meaning that the Zava Gedola cannot be running simultaneously with the situation of Nida. Because it says, Vishak Yazuv Zov Dama Yamim Ravim below eight Nidata. At a time that's not when she's a Nida. That means it's got to be separate, differentiated from that of Nida. Samuch, l'nidata. Adjacent to, immediately after her being a Nida, that's when the possibility of her becoming a Zava comes into force. Vainly ala samuch l'nidata. So then I only know the immediately after she was a Nida, if she continues to have a sighting in those days immediately afterwards, then she can become a Zava Gdola. Muflag l'nidata yom echad minayin. How do I know if there's a day in between where she has a cessation of the dam that you can also become a zava gedola? Tamalomar, the pasuk says, O ki tazuv al nidata. Meaning that's the continuation of the pasuk by the zava gedola. Isha ki yazuv zov doma yamim rabim below eight nidata. Oh, another case is, ki tazuv al nidata. When she has a continuous flow, afterwards, meaning beyond that which was mentioned over here. The Braita now assumes in this setup that, of course, the Zava Gdola cannot be at the beginning of her sighting of a Nida, because it says below eight Nidata, not the time of her Nida. But implications from that are it's not at the time of a Nida, but it's immediately afterwards. That means that you have 7 days of Tuma for a Nida, and then you begin the Yemei Ziva afterwards. So your first impression would be that in order to become a Zava Gdola, you would have to have a flow of dam for 3 days immediately after you had become a nida. So a nida is 7 days of tuma. Immediately after you completed that series of 7 days, the subsequent 3 days, you continue to have a setting of dam. That would make you into a zava gedola because it says below eight nidata, not at the time you're nida, but immediately afterwards. So immediately afterwards would be the 3 days succeeding the nida, which would be day 8, day 9, and day 10. For purposes of this bright, though, we'll call them day 1, day 2, and day 3, because those are the first 3 days of your Yemei Ziva, but it means the 3 days subsequent to the 7 days of your Yemei Nida. And if you had those sighting of those 3 days in a row, then you would have a requirement for Shiva Nikim. And that's because it says Yamim Rabim, Mishaki Azuv Zov Dama Yamim Rabim. Yamim is plural, so it's a minimum of 2. Rabim adds on an additional 1 is 3. So you need a minimum of 3 days of sighting to make you into a Zava Gdola. And it has to be below eight nidata, not when you're a nida. And that means it has to be subsequent to those 3 days. How do I know if she has a sighting on day number 2, 3, and 4, which is the equivalent from the beginning of her nida of days 9, 10, and 11, because you have 7 days of nida. The 8th day she has no sighting. And then day 9, 10, and 11, she has sightings that that would also make her into a Zavah Gdola. That's what we learn from the Pasuk, O ki tazuva nidata, that she has a flow beyond or separated away from her being a Nida. And so the minimum separation would be one day. So now I've already established that there are two possibilities of being a Zavah Gdola. That is, subsequent to your 7 days of Nida, either you have a sighting on day 1, 2, and 3, or you have a sighting on day 2, 3, and 4. Both of those are plausible explanations of the Pasuk by the Zavah Gdola. And therefore, now I've established the fact that you can become a Zavah Gdola in one of those two ways. Shnaim, Shlosha, Arba'a, Chamisha, Shisha, Vishiva, Shmona, Tisha, Asara, Minayin. How do I know that if she has a sighting beginning on day number 2, on the second day after she was in Nida, starting then, she has a sighting on day 2, 3, and 4, or starting on day 3, she has a sighting 3, 4, and 5, or on day 4, she has 4, 5, 6, and so on and so forth, all the way through day number 10, where she has a sighting maybe on 8, 9, and 10, that can make her into a Zavah Gdola. How do I know that all of those days are included in her Yemei Zivah? Amar, Maimatsinu Birivi'i, day number 4 of her Yemei Zivah, Shira'ui L'Sfira, it could have been one of the Shivnikiim, Vera'ui L'Zivah. It also has the possibility of making her into a Zavah Gdola. Afani Avi Hasiri, I will bring all those days all the way to day number 10, Shira'ui L'Sfira, because all of them are Ra'ui to be the Shivnikiim, Vera'ui L'Zivah. And they also then will have the possibility of making her into a Zavah Gidola. What the Bright is pointing out is that if you were to follow the scenarios that the Psukim lay out, the case where you would have a Zavah Gdola is in a case where you had 7 days of Yemei Nida, and then on day 1, 2, and 3 of your Yemei Zivah, that's how you become a Zavah Gdola. If that happened, then day 1 is Tmeah, day 2 is Tmeah, day 3 is Tmeah. Now you require Shivnikim. The Shivnikim would then be on day 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So you would get all the way through day 10 with your Shivnikim. Now, Bright already told us that the O Kitazub Zov Dama, O Kitazub Al Nidata, tells you that there's an additional possibility of becoming a Zavah Gdola, and that's where you don't have any sighting on day number 1 of your Yemei Zivah, but you only have sightings on day 2, 3, and 4. So if you had sightings on days 2, 3, and 4, then you'd have to keep Shivnikim. Those Shivnikim would terminate on day number 11, because your Shivnikim would be then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That would give you your Shivnikim. But what's interesting about day number 4 is that day number 4 could either be the first day of your Shivnikim, based on the first scenario where you saw on days 1, 2, and 3, or day 4 could be one of the Yemei Zivah, based on the second scenario, which is where you have no sighting on day 1, but you have a sighting on days number 2, 3, and 4. So 4 can function in both ways. It could be the first of the Shivnikim. It also could be one of the days of Zivah. And what the Bright is suggesting now, that that's a Binyan Av, that establishes a precedent that if you are good enough to be one of the Shivnikim, then you're also good enough to be a day where the sighting has implication. So just like day number 4, it could be one of the Shivnikim, or it also could be one of the days of Tumah that make you into a Zavah Gdola, so too with days number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All of those are re'uyin to be one of the Shivnikim based on the scenario what you saw on day 1, 2, and 3. So they also then have the possibility of making you into a Zavah Gdola if you cite any one of those days with 3 of them consecutively. That would make you into a Zavah Gdola, because each of those days has both functions to it. It can function as the Shivnikim, or it can function as a day of Zivah. And we learn that from day number 4, which based on the two scenarios the Psukim lay out for us, can function in either one of those capacities, either being the first day of the Shivnikim, or the last day of your 3 days of Yemei Zivah that make you into a Zavah Gdola. So too, all the remaining days from 5 through 10 have that same din. Now the Gemara says, okay, uminayin rabot acharasar. How do I know that there's an 11th day to Yemei Zivah? Tamalomar, below 8 nidata. It's at a time that is not when she is in Nida. Yochol shani mirabeh af shnei masar. You would think maybe I should also include day number 12. That's also below 8 nidata. That's also at a time when she's not a Nida. Amar, lav, you can't say that. So the Gemara says, umaraita, how do you know l'rabot achadasar? To include day number 11 as being one of the days that is good for Yemei Zivah, olutzi shnei masar, and then to exclude day number 12, or in essence, the Bright is now asking, how do you know that the term of Yemei Zivah is 11 days and not 12 days? So Mirabe ani achadasar shra'ui l'sfira o kitazuf. I include day number 11 because that is ra'ui to be one of the days of the Shivanikim for the second scenario in the Torah. The Torah gave her one scenario which was below 8 nidata, which is the case when she's completed in being a nida, and now she continues to have sightings on the first 3 days subsequent to being a nida, meaning on day 8, 9, and 10, or for Yemei Ziva, day 1, 2, and 3, that was one scenario. Then we said, well, Oki Tazub, the bright to learn from that, that even if she has cessation of dam for one day, and then she has 3 days in a row on days 2, 3, and 4, that also makes her into a Zabagi Dola. Well, for days 2, 3, and 4, the Shivanikim for those days would be from days 5 through 11, would be the Shivanikim. So the 11th day is one of the Shivanikim for one of the two scenarios that the Torah lays out. The Torah lays out a scenario of seeing on 1, 2, and 3, which then you have Shivanikim from day 4 through 10. Or the other scenario is where you have it on 2, 3, and 4, where you have a sighting of a Zavag Dola, and then the Shivanikim would be from day 5 through day 11. Omotziani Yudbech in Ra'ui the Sfirat Oki Tazuf. And I exclude day number 12, which has no manifestation of being one of the Shivanikim for the two scenarios that the Torah lays out. And therefore, you only have 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Now, Ein Ochanami, if you had a sighting later on in the days of your Yemei Ziva, that then you would have to keep Shivanikim, that would extend way beyond the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. But the Torah gives only two scenarios. The Torah gives one scenario where you sight immediately after being a Nidah, 3 days in a row. Or it gives a second scenario where, with a day of respite in between her 7 days of Nidah, and then beginning her Ziva, days 2, 3, and 4, those are the two scenarios of Ziva Gdola that are laid out by the Torah. That means the Shivanikim can either be from day 4 through 10, or day 5 through 11. Now, we learned about day 4, that day 4 could either be the first of the Shivanikim, or the last day of her Yemei Ziva. And then that teaches us for all the subsequent days that had the possibility of being the Shivanikim for the two scenarios of the Torah, that they also have the possibility of making her into a Ziva Gdola. So once you've done that, you've extended that period out to 11 days, which are the days where she can become a Zavag Dola, or where she can count her Shivanikim. Now once you've established that, then any one of those days during the 11 days, if you have 3 days in a row where she has sightings, she'll become a Zavag Dola, and subsequent to that, she'll have to keep Shivanikim, even if they extend beyond those 11 days. But once you establish what the parameters of the 11 days, that's the limit of the period of time in which you become a Zavag Gdola, because those are the only two scenarios the Torah lays out. The extension of the Yemei Ziva from day 5 through 11 happens because day 5 through 11 could have been Shivanikim based on the scenarios of the Torah. So they also then, based on day number 4, have the possibility of being Yemei Ziva. So that's how we establish the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Again, which is a basic part of what we've been learning throughout the Masechta, that you have 7 days of Yemei Nida, then 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Now, the Gemara says, Ein li ela shlosha yamim. That's only true if I have 3 days in a row, because that's what the Torah says, yamim rabim, shnei yamim minayin. How do I know that if you have a sighting for 2 days, you're also a zava, tamid lomar, yamei? In the subsequent pasuk there it says, kol mishkav, asher tishkav alav, kol yamei zova. So the word yamei is in plural, so that indicates 2 days. Yom echad minayin, how do I know if you have a sighting even for 1 day, that you're also tmeya, tamid lomar, kol yamei. Kol is a ribui, so it includes even a single day. This is what's otherwise known as a zava ktana, or shomeret yom keneged yom. If you have a sighting either for 1 day or 2 days, then she is tmeya during those yamei ziva, and she has to keep the subsequent day. I mean, the day after day 1, on day 2, she would have to keep a shomeret yom keneged yom. Or if she had sighting for 2 days in a row, on the 3rd day, she would have to be shomeret yom keneged yom. So now we've established that you become a zava, either having a sighting 3 days in a row, sighting 2 days in a row, or sighting 1 day in a row. What level of tuma does such a woman have? That the pasuk says, Vishak yazuv zov doma yamim rabim, below 8 nidata, okita zuva nidata, koyume zov tumata, kimei nidata tiye, tmeya hi. She is tmeya. Tmeya, mlamedet shimitamad bolaki nida. That word tmeya comes to teach you that she has the same din as a nida, and just like a nida is mitame boala, which we know from the psukim in the parshia of nida, so too a zava has that same status of tuma, that if someone is boel her, that person will also have the same status as a boel nida. He, there's a miut at the end of the pasuk that says, he mitamad boala, ben azav mitame mashu boel. That's only true with regards to someone who's boel a zava or a nida. it's not true if the person is a Zav and is Boel a woman who is Torah. He does not have the impact of making her Tmeah because of Biyah. Below Dinu, you could have made a Kal v'chomer. This is a Kal v'chomer we've seen actually a number of times in the Masechta. And the Gemara in numerous places in the Masechta dismisses this Kal v'chomer. But leaving that aside, the Torah is telling you that this is a unique din that's associated with a Zavah or a Nidah. Mahi, Shena Metama, Biriyot, Kiyamim. A Zavah who only can become Tmeah if she cites over multiple days. In order to become a Zavah, she needs to cite over 3 days. It doesn't matter if she has 3 sightings on a single day. That's still only considered to be as 1 day of sighting. She needs 3 days of sighting to become a Zavah Gdola. Nevertheless, Mitama et Bo'ala, she still has the capacity to make her Bo'ala Tmeah. Who? A Zav, Shemitame B'riyot K'biyamim. A Zav can become a Zav of multiple Riyot, either because she cites over 3 separate days. He has a sighting on day 1, 2, and 3, and then he becomes a Zav Bal Shlosh Riyot. Or it could be on a single day, he has 3 Riyot. That will also make him into a Zav Bal Shlosh Riyot. There's no limitation that has to be over 3 separate days. It can even be in a single day over 2 days that he has the sighting of 3 times that makes him into a Zav. So he has a Chumrah whereby it does not have to be spread over days. It's just the number of Riyot. Einu Din Shemitamei Mashu Boel. And certainly she should have the capacity to make whatever he is Boel Tamei, just like the Nida or the Zavah does the same thing. So you would have thought that it's a Kal v'chomer. Again, the Gemara in other places throughout this Masechta notes that that Kal v'chomer is not great because Nida has a Chumra that's associated with it. Nida is mitama bonus. Nida becomes Tamei'a no matter how she sees the Dam, whether it's because of a menstrual flow or it's because of some exogenous variable that causes the menstrual flow. Both of those make the woman Tamei'a. On the other hand, by Zav, we already learned earlier in Masechta that there are exogenous items that if they precipitate the flow of Zav, that they do not cause Tumata Zav because they were not Mi Bisaro. It's not coming out of his Basar, but rather Meon So. It came from something else that triggered the flow. So that's the easy way to undermine the Kal v'chomer. Nevertheless, as the Bali Tosafot will point out over here, Tzarek Lamar, Sheinu Kal v'chomer Gamur, Ela Kamo Giloi Milta Bialma. It's not a real Kal v'chomer because you can undermine it. Rather, it's a Gilui Milta to show you that maybe you should learn from Zavah to Zav, because they're found in the same Parshiot in the Torah, and maybe it should give you information. Just like the Zavah is this way, so too the Zav should be this way. Tamalomar, he. That's why you have the Pasuk say he, a mute, he mitamad bo'ala, only a Zavah or a Nida is mitamad bo'ala, vein a Zav mitamei mashu bo'el. The Zav does not have that standing to be mitamei, that which he is Boel. So now we've established that a Zavah has a standing like a Nidah, so much so that if someone is Boel, the Zavah, they have the same status as a Boel Nidah. Now Nidah comes with additional high levels of Tumah, one of which was, as we discussed now, Boel Nidah, that makes the Boel Tameh just like that level of the Nidah herself. But there's also high levels of Tumah like Mishkav and Moshav, whereby when she sits on something or lays on something, that item takes on the Tumah at the same level as the woman herself and makes them into an Ava Tumah. So the Gemara asks here, Minayin, the way that Girsa in our Gemara is Shehu, but if you look in the Haggad Rauschenberg, he changes it, Minayin Shehi, Osa Mishkav Umoshav. How do I know that a Zavah has the same status as a Nida, that she is Mitamah, not only Be'ava Tumah, like a Nida, not only at Bo'ala, but also Mishkav and Moshav. Tamalomar, that's what the second pasuk says. Kol mishkav asher tishkav alav kol yemei zova kim mishkav nidata yela. The way that the mishkav of the nida is, so is the mishkav of the zava. So you see now that a zava also has this high level of tumah with regards to mishkav and moshav, or in essence, the zava is identical to the nida when it comes to matters of tumah. Ve'en li'alesh losha yamim. That's only true if she was a Zavah Gedola and had a sighting for 3 days that we consider to be like a Nidah or a full-fledged Nidah for Tumah, Shnei Yamim Minayin, how do you know if she only had a sighting for 2 days and she's a Zavah Ktana, that's true, Tamalomar, Yimei, Yom Echad Minayin, how do you know if she had only a sighting for 1 day and now she's a Zavah Ktana for 1 day of sighting, how do I know that that Tumah applies also, Tamalomar, Kol Yimei. Therefore, you know that it includes even a single day. The kol is a riboy. So now we've established that, first of all, there are 11 days of Yemei Zivah. We've also established that if she has a sighting for 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zavah Gidola. If she has a sighting for 2 days or 1 day, she's also a Zavah. And the implications of that are that she is Tmeah like a Nida. Full-fledged, that if someone is Boel her, It's like Boel and Nida. Mishkan Moshav, just like a nida. Now, the last thing that we have to establish is how many days of tarad you need for these types of sighting. Uminayin shosoferet echad leechad. How do I know that we have what's called in the Gemara shomeret yom keneged yom? The only thing we have in the parshia is that she has to have shiva nikiim. How do I know that the shiva nikiim only applies to the 3 days of sightings, not the one day or 2 days of sighting? And that's what the bright asks. How do I know if she has 1 day of tumah that she only has to count another day in order to be Torah? Tamalomar yela. Rashi says, Hosifla havaya shel shimur. They added on an additional havaya, existence or presence of a day of shimur. I think you could even interpret it from the words themselves as kol mishkav asher tishkav alav, kol yemei zova. We already established that kol yemei, yemei means two sightings. Kol means one sighting. All those times of zova, kemishkav nidata, yela. That will be similar to a mishkav nidata. Just like she becomes a nida, that's the way she becomes Torah. Just like when you become a nida, it only takes 1 day of a sighting to become this, to mea for 7 days of nida. So too, to become Torah from a zova ktana, you only need 1 day. 1 day of nikim works because it's yela. She needs 1 day, just like 1 day makes her into a nida, 1 day takes her away from being a nida. That's in the pasuk that is kol yemei, which involves either 2 days of sighting or 1 day of sighting. And therefore, she only has to be shomeret yom keneged yom. Yochol tispor shiva lishnayim. Well, that's for 1 day of sighting. So 1 day of sighting will have 1 day of tara, shomeret yom keneged yom. I would have thought that's possible, but if she had 2 days of sighting, then she'd be no different than someone has 3 days of sighting and she would require shiva nikim. Vidinu, and it makes sense. Mahu, shein sofer echad leechad. Just like a zav, when he has tumah for the first time, the first sighting is like the equivalent of shichvat zera, and tumat keri only lasts for 1 day. The day that you have the sighting, you go to the mikveh, and you're only tamei for 1 day. If the remainder of the day, you go to the mikveh, and have no more sightings, and then you have harem shemesh, you become tahor, even immediately after the day on which you've had the sighting. You don't have to wait an additional day afterwards. When it comes to 2 sightings of a zav, sover shiva lishnayim. Over there, he has to keep 7 days of tara after the second sighting of a zav. As we noted before, first day of zav is like shich vazeres tumat erev. The second sighting of a zav makes him tamei where he needs shivin akim. The third sighting of a zav makes him that he needs shivin akim plus korbanot. That means already by the second sighting, he already needs shivin akim. So if that's true by the zav, he, shesoferet echad leechad, she who has to keep 1 day for 1 day of tumah, enu din shetispor shiva l'shnayim, then certainly she have to keep 7 or shiva nikim for the 2 days of sighting. Again, here, the Gemara makes the assumption that the zava is clearly more chamur than the zav, because her sightings bonus make her tamei, and those of the zav bonus do not make him tamei. Even though, again, there's a pircha to that, because the zav is tamei through re'iyot and yamim, whereas the zava is only tamei through yamim. Again, Tosfos just says that it's a setup, not because the kal v'chomer is real, but you might have thought to extend the din from zav to a zavah, because they're written together, they're similar in nature. So just like by a zav, 2 sightings result in shiva nikim, so too by a zavah, 2 days will result in shiva nikim. Tamad omar, yela, enu soferet, ela yoma. All you have to do is count that 1 day. And the truth is that in the Torat Kohanim, the Girsa is, just like you have to keep 1 day for 1 day, that you should have to keep 2 for 2 days. And that would again make sense if you see the Yela as reflecting the Tum'ah, how many days of Tum'ah you have, that's how many days you have to then remain B'Tara. So for 1 day you require 1 day of Tara, then for 2 days you would require 2 days of Tara. That is dispelled by the fact that Yela means only one. Yeah, there's 1 day of Havaya, there's 1 day of Shimur, irrespective of whether it's Kol or Kol Yimei, whether it's 1 sighting or 2 days of sighting, there's only 1 day of Tara that is required. And therefore, you only need 1 day of Tara for them, not Shiva Nikim, like a Zav, who has 2 sightings, and not Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, meaning that for every day of Tumah, you also need a day of Tara. You only need 1 day of Tara for 1 day of sighting, or for 2 days of sighting, because it says, whether it's Kol or Yemei, either one of those, only Yela, require 1 day of Shimur for that, and that's what we, otherwise known as Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. You need 1 day. It's not like you think that it's Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, means if you cite for 1 day, you need to keep 1 day of Tara. If you cite for 2 days, you need to keep 2 days of Tara. Both of them require only a single day of Tara after the sightings. So if you have a sighting for 1 day, the subsequent day is Tara. If you have a sighting for 2 days, then the third day has to be kept Tara, and that is Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. And even though the bright day here actually brings the source for Shemet Yom Kineged Yom from the Iyela in the Pasuk, in Horiot and in the Gemara in Megillah, Rashi in both those places says that the source for the Shemeret Yom Kineged Yom is actually V'Safrala, that you have to count one day Kineged the other day. And even though afterwards it says V'Safrala Shivat Yamim, the Shivat Yamim is only relevant to a woman who saw 3 days in a row, but a Zavaktana only is V'Safrala. And that might be a difference in the perspective as to what a Zavaktana is. If you believe it comes from V'Safrala, it makes it sound like a Zavaktana is exactly like a Zavagidola. The only thing is that she gets a dispensation to count less than the Shiva Nikim, but inherently she really is a Zavag Dola with a dispensation to count less time. On the other hand, based on the Limudim and Arbraita here, the Zavag Tana is always Iela. She is different or differentiated from the Zavag Dola because she only requires Shumet Yom Kineged Yom. It's only once you reach the three sightings that you have a requirement of Safrala Shivat Yamim. And therefore it builds up. There's a Zavag Tana. And then only once you have that third sighting are you elevated to being a Zava Gidola. And that's why you require Shivinikim. So it's a little bit a difference of perspective as to whether it's a Zavak Tana, a Zavak Dola, with a dispensation for less Shivinikim, or is a Zavak Tana, something totally different that hasn't reached the elevated status of a Zavak Dola. There really is, in the end, no Nafkamina because of the fact that both of them, Zavak Tana and a Zavak Gidola, have the same levels of Tum'ah. Now we finally, after we finish this whole Braita, get to the question that we wanted to ask, which is, Amma Kraininu. We see from this that the whole source of Yemei Ziva, the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, come from the Psukim, not from Halacha the Moshe Sinai. So why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying it comes from Halacha the Moshe Sinai? My answer is the Rabbi Akiva Krai, or Rabbi Akiva, it is Psukim, is the source, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yilkotag. Whereas for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's Halacha the Moshe Sinai. This goes back to the Tosafot we mentioned in the previous Amud, that why the Gemara aggregate together these three positions of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that these are all Halacha Moshe Sinai, when they really have nothing to do with each other. One's about the Korban Torah, one's about the Korban Nazir, and one of them is about the Hilchot Nida. So why is there any correlation between them? The Baya Tosavot there gave two answers. One of those answers is that these are the positions where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says Halacha Moshe Sinai, and Rabbi Akiva argues on him on each one of those. Already for the Todah, and for the Nazir, we saw those Limudim in the previous Braita. Over here, we have now a Braita that indicates another position where you can learn all this out of the Psukim. And the Gemara says that that's Rabbi Akiva's position. That's maybe why they were aggregated together, because these are three Halakot, the Moshe Sinai, where Rabbi Akiva thinks you learn them from the Torah Bichtav through Drashot. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thinks that they are Halakot, the Moshe Sinai. Now, even though in general, we have a principle when it comes to Rabbi Akiva arguing on another Tana, Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva michaveiro. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he argues on a single Tana. And therefore over here you would think that we would paskin like Rabbi Akiva on the source for the 11 days of Yemei Ziva would come from the Psukim. Despite that, the Rambam paskins that the 11 days of Yemei Ziva are Halacha L'moshe Sinai for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So some of the Mefarshei Rambam over there point out that the Rambam probably favored Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah over here because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the previous Gemara argue within the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that shows you that they believed that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position was the correct position. And then the Amoraim are arguing within that position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to indicate to you that the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, despite the general principle that over here you would think the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. And that's why the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And this again matches what we noted yesterday, that Rabbi Akiva is the one who is Doresh, like the Maran Menachot says, Tilei Tilim Shalachot, from every Kotso Shel Yud. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's a very young Talmid, who's premised on the Mesorah, sees things through Halacha the Moshe Sinai, or through a Mesorah, rather than something that's darshan, logical, be out of the Psukim themselves. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Shmaya the Rabbi Ava, maybe the way to reconcile the Psukim is to say the following. The pasuk by the Zava says Yishak Yazov Zov Dama Yamim Rabim. The word Yamim in the Torah can have two different meanings. Yom in the Torah can either be daytime, or Yom can also mean a whole day of 24 hours, day and night. So you've understood until now Yamim Rabim means over 3 days, means three 24-hour periods. But maybe the right way to understand Yamim over here means daytime, and therefore it's during the day. And then you could reconcile the two parshiot, the parshiah of Nida, and the Parshah Zava, and they could run simultaneously, and say this, Ima Yomama Tiavi Zava, she sees during the daytime, she'll be a Zava. The Lelia, if she sees at night, Tiavi Nida. And then you can have them run simultaneously. Amar Le, Alecha Markra, on you, the Pasuk says, Al Nidata. It says there that the sighting is below 8 Nidata. O Kitazuv, Al Nidata. Or she continues to flow beyond her being a nida. Al nidata is samuch le nidata, adjacent or subsequent to her being a nida. Samuch le nidata emahavi. When is the time that is immediately after her being a nida? Belelia, that's at night. Bikari gari la zava, and it still calls her a zava. And that is because the nida is tmeah for 7 whole days. After the last minute of the 7 days, on the night after the 7th day, she goes in the mikveh and she is torah. And now we're saying here that the zava can become a zava immediately or adjacent to her being a nida. Immediately after being a nida starts at the nighttime. It's not the day 8 where she become a zava gedola because her nida already terminated at the end of day 7. That means that the night after the 7th, she could already become a Zava. And that shows you that you can become a Zava even at nighttime. And that dispels this understanding that Yamim Rabim means day times and not days. Because below 8 Nidata or Al Nidata, as we saw before, means close by, immediately afterwards, adjacent to her being a Nida. And since her Nida terminates at the end of day 7, then the period of Zava already begins on the night after the 7th day, or at night. And therefore you can see she can become a Zava even at nighttime. Right now the Gemara hands off the Masechta with a Memra from Tana Debe Gliel, which many are familiar with because it is said in the Pitom Aktoret, that's at the end of the davening. But there's a question as to whether it belongs in the Girsa over here. The Balei Tosafot already note, it's Svarim, the Logar Sinalei. There are certain Svarim that do not have the remainder of the Gemara in the Gemara. He says, but Miu, Beperish Rashi Ito, clear that Rashi had it in his Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam, he Gil Besifro, and the Rabbeinu Tam added it into his Sefer. Or those Gemaras that didn't have it, he added it in based on his grandfather Rashi's perspective that it does belong here. V'chein nireh. He says it makes sense that it should be here. The Da'aydi da'ari le'el behilchata. Since before in the Gemara it dealt with halacha the Moshe Misinai, mighty la l'sayim b'davar tov. He came here to end off the Masechta on a good note. Ve'ita nami kein b'migilah. And that's true also at the end of the Gemara Megillah, and also at the end of Gemara Brachot. 3 Masechtot that end with this Gadik Memra, she came at Sinu Nevi'im Rishonim, because we find by Nevi'im Yoshinim, Yishayahu, which ends with Vaya Midei Chodesh B'Chodesho Shabbat B'Shabbato, which is the Kriyat Haftorah V'Shamayim Kisi, and the end of Yirmiyahu, which ends with the reinstatement of Yoyakim, at least in the context of Bavel, he's taken out of prison, and Yechezkel, which ends off with the description of Yerushalayim Latid Lavo. So all the Nevi'im Rishonim, despite all the difficulties they speak about during their Nevuot or throughout their Sefer, they always end off on a nice note. Divrei Shevach V'Tanchumim. So too over here, we're going to end off the Masechta on a high note. It's also a way to end the Masechta to show that one who learns or engages in this type of learning, the sky for that individual will be Olam Haba. Similar to the way that Shas Mishnayot also ends off with the reward for those that learn Torah, lahanchil ovayesh. So to over here, the Gemara ends off on a note of indicating the sky for those that learn the Torah, learn the Gemara. And the Gemara ends with Tanit Debe Eliyahu. There's a memra that is brought from the aggregations of all the brightot of Eliyahu, whether those are really from the Navi Eliyahu, brightot that people learned from Eliyahu, or whether it was a Tana named Eliyahu. Kol ha-shoneh halachot b'chol yom, Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Anyone who learns halachot each day. Rashi over here says, what are halachot? Mishnah, Braita, halacha lemoshe misinai. Because the final Gemara here in Nida included all of those items. A Mishnah, a Braita, and halacha lemoshe misinai. And therefore it's appropriate closure to Masechet Nida. That's what the Balei Tosfot were noting, that since the Gemara here dealt with halacha lemoshe misinai, it's appropriate to end off with kol ha-shoneh halachot, halachot referencing to the Mishnayot, the Braitot, and halacha lemoshe misinai. And that's why it is contextually relevant to mention this in the context of a halacha lemoshe misinai, and why it's appropriate to have it here, aside from the fact of ending on a high note. It's also relevant to this particular Gemara that was discussing about a halacha the Moshe Misinai. And it says, Kol ha-shoneh halachot, someone who learns halacha each day, he is promised to be a ben olam haba, and that is the practice of many of these Sephardi communities, that when they get to that part of Pitom HaKetoret, where Kol HaShoneh HaLachot B'Kol Yom Muftach Shalom HaLam Baba, before they do that, they learn a halacha. And through that halacha, then they continue on with this saying, B'Tanu Be'lo Yahu, Shinemar, because they quote a pasuk from Habakkuk, Halichot Olam Lo, these are the ways of the world, or the paths that Hashem has traveled for time immemorial. Over there in Habakkuk, it's describing the revelation of God, and what comes with the revelation of God. Al tikra halichot, don't say that these are the paths, but rather, ela halachot olam lo. That the one who has halachot olam lo, they will forever be for him, or they will give him olam haba. Now, in many places where we have this concept of al tikri, the Maral, the Marshal, always ask the question, what is this, some play or some game that we say Al-Tikri? Some of them note that Al-Tikri doesn't literally mean that we're changing the word, but rather we have a drasha, and we're trying to associate the drasha with a pasuk, and the Al-Tikri is a way to remember the drasha. Others see the Al-Tikri as a way to indicate the right interpretation of the word in the pasuk. Now, over here, the word is halichot, which is the way of the world, but now we're saying, don't read it as halichot, but rather halachot. And in that manner, it's actually teaching you what is the meaning of the way of the world. The way of the world is halachot. Just like the Torah was the basis for the creation of the world, Hashem istakel boraita bara alma, God looked into the Torah and created the world. And therefore, the Torah is the blueprint of the world. So if you want to know how the world works, or the ways of the world, that you get through the halachot. And therefore, halichot olam lo, that's the way the world works. So that's how it always is. So do halachot olam lo. The halachot will put you on the right path and put you in consonance with the creation. Because since the Torah was the basis of the creation, if you study the Torah, then you also will be on that same path and you will be carrying out the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted for his world. And the Marsha makes a nice point here as well, which is that you would think that Masechet Nidah is no longer relevant because of Rabbi Zeira's statement that Benot Yisrael Yechmiru Atzman, never all the practices of Masechet Nidah are no longer relevant because now everyone treats themselves like a Zavah Gdolah and has to wait Shiva Nikim. So you would think that no need to learn Masechet Nidah. That's what this statement of Tanit Be'elio at the end of the Masechet comes to say, Kol HaShoneh HaLakot. You need to go through all the Halakot of Masechet Nidah. Those are all important, even though our practice maybe negates many of the implications of the Halakot. But the underlying halachot are important to understanding nida, understanding the halacha, and there are also many things that reference to other parts of Shas that come out of this masechta, and therefore, it's still relevant, this masechta. And still others suggest that Kol HaShoneh HaLachot, like Rashi says, is Mishnah Bright and Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, is to remind you that this isn't the end of Shas. This is the end of Shas of Talmud Bavli, but it's not the end of Shas Mishnayot, and that one shouldn't forget that you need to learn the remainder of Taharot, even though there's no Gemara Bavli that's associated with it. So on that note, we end the Perek of Hadron Alach Tinoket, Uslikala Masechet Nidah, and we can also add in this Masechta the most beautiful words that one can say. That is the tremendous accomplishment of finishing Shas Bavli, and that is Hadron Alach Talmud Bavli, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.